Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cryptic Cocktail Party, a show where we have a few drinks, share a few laughs, take a dive into the unknown. I'm your host Dave, and joined as always by the wonderfully the Sarge. How's it going, bud?
The wonderfully appareled Sarge in my Mothman tank top.
I told you I went to brunch this morning and my words aren't coming out of my face correctly.
Your mouth isn't wording. It's fine.
It's whatever. I kind of need it to do the show, but it will cross that bridge when we get there. How you doing, bud? You looking good. Love the shirt. Love the hat.
Thank you. My dog decided to join me for this episode.
Aww.
She's just going to periodically lick me to get attention. Oh, excuse me. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. If I'm not paying enough attention, she puts her paw on me like, hello.
Oh, my stupid. My dog does the same exact thing. If you stop petting it, it just fucking buries its face into your hand until you give it pets again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's a needy girl.
But yeah. What's new? What's going on? How's life?
Life's good. I'm busy, you know, busy with managing children and my job.
Yeah.
And also, writing scripts for Citizens Guide. Which I forgot. I hate doing. I hate writing scripts. I'm going to do it.
I love writing scripts,
but I also hate it. The problem is like I gather as much information as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when I look at it all, I'm like, uh-oh, I have so many directions to head.
Yeah.
And I always like grab a giant topic and I'm like, oh yeah, I can easily handle this. And then I get in the weeds.
Yeah.
And I just start searching for stuff and it eventually just gets to a point where I'm like, okay, I need to cut out 90% of this.
That's the problem, man. You got to niche it down.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it.
But I run into that same problem because I thought when I started this series on Mel's Hole, that would be a one and done. I thought like, you know, we're just going to fucking tell the story. And then now we're on what, episode 3, the final chapter of Mel's Hole. And even then I had to leave a bunch of shit out. Nothing like super serious, but I understand where you're coming from when you try to dive into
I don't think you realized. Yeah. I just don't think you realized how deep Mel's Hole is.
All right. So do you remember where we last left off with Mel's Hole?
Yeah. I remember there was another hole.
Yeah. So last we left off, Mel had just lost pretty much everything, his land, his money, his back teeth. And all of this was a result of making a deal with the government to lease his property to them. And in return, he had to sign an NDA and was told to leave the country and never return. He moved to Australia for a couple years, but decided, fuck it, I want to go home, which resulted in all of the above happening. He then went on Coast to Coast AM again after 3 years of radio silence. And while on that broadcast, he told Art Bell and the audience about the existence of a second bottomless pit that a Native American tribe in Nevada had asked him to come investigate. So that's where we were. That's where we left off. Does all that sound right?
Got it.
Okay.
It sounds absolutely right. I forgot about the fact that it was a Native American tribe, but I do remember there being a new hole in Nevada.
Yeah, there's another hole.
I do remember that part.
So,
and I remember how much joy it gave me that I was imagining a guy named Mel running around Las Vegas talking about the government stealing his teeth.
That happened in San Francisco.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Which is honestly more fitting because I feel like if you're going to be the kind of person who's going to talk about the government stealing your teeth, you really can only do that in a place that is known for psychedelic drugs.
Yeah, there's a few places in America where you can run around screaming about the government taking your teeth and people would be like, that's par for the course for where I am.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of places that won't
like
fly.
Like Cambridge, Massachusetts, San Francisco, New York City.
Yeah.
Or maybe Florida.
But like all of Florida, no specific city in Florida. It's just
the whole state.
Yeah, no. So
except in Florida, you know, it's not the government, you know, it was meth.
Exactly. So
yeah.
So
nobody. That was the blue crystals you smoked.
Yeah. So even though it was a Native American tribe that had invited Mel to come investigate this secondary hole, the Native Americans don't show up in the story at all. I don't know why he said it because it actually wasn't located on an Indian reservation. It was actually located on public land used by the Basques, which thanks to one of my sources for this series, it's the Y Files on YouTube, I learned that the Basques are an ethnic group that hails from a small region located in between Spain and France.
Yeah.
And in the 1800s, settled in a few places in the United States, one of them being Nevada. Apparently, they became like sheep herders. Like, that's what they used this land in Nevada for. I had no idea. I didn't know the Basques was a thing. When I saw it...
I'm glad they picked a desert to graze sheep. That's...
right? But also, again...
the rare sand sheep.
Again, Native Americans do not show up in the story whatsoever. I don't know who contacted him, but also I want to know why anyone, like, why they contacted Mel. Like, he's an expert on holes. All he did was throw trash down it and then get his back teeth removed by the government. Like, why they reached out to this man to be like, hey, do you want to come investigate, like, do research in this hole? Like, who is he to be the authority on?
Would make me happy is if everything he threw in his hole back home just kind of shot up through this hole.
They're like, hey, Mel, come get your fucking shit.
Yeah, the Basque people are like, well, we called you because we have some of your mail.
Yeah.
Apparently someone's been trying to reach you about extending your warranty.
No. So when Mel...
Hold on. I gotta silence my bird. She is. I can see her like popping up on the screen. She's triggering my audio. I don't think anybody wants to listen to her sing.
So when Mel arrived at the hole, he was told by the Basques that the hole had actually been there as long as their people had inhabited the land and that it was considered sacred to them. So about like roughly like 150, 200 years, you know.
So they put the hole on a pedestal.
Pretty much, yeah. The hole was the same diameter as Mel's, so like 9 feet, but... where Mel's had like a stone retaining wall that went down 15 feet or so, the secondary hole had a metal ring around the outer edge and was lined with metal as far down as the eye could see. The metal also didn't make a sound when struck. There was no like reverberation or like resonance tone. Like, so Mel dropped a tool on it, he said, and like the impact was silent. There was nothing, not even an echo, kind of like how you couldn't, there was no echo in Mel's hole. The other difference was that the pit in Nevada was radiating heat, which, I mean, to me, that doesn't sound weird at all because it is.
Yeah, it's like a metal hole.
It's a metal hole in the middle of Nevada. Like, it's going to get hot.
Yeah.
But whatever. So
I like that Mel just randomly dropped a tool down there. Like, he probably has like a whole toolbox. He's like, nah, I'm using my dropping tools.
Well, he did throw lifesavers. I mean, it tracks.
Yeah.
But
yeah, anything he can.
So now that Mel is there, he's at the hole, it's time to do some experimenting. The first test performed by Mel and the Basque people was they took two buckets of ice. One was a control bucket that they left up on the surface, and the other they tied to 1,000 feet of rope and lowered it down into the hole. Now, once the bucket of ice that they kept on the surface had completely melted, they pulled the second bucket out of the pit, and to no one's shock, because this is a crazy story, the ice in the bucket hadn't melted at all. But something even weirder happened. It wasn't cold to the touch or even wet. It was described as feeling like chunks of salt almost. So they tried to melt it over a fire and it just fucking burst into flames. Just the way they described it is, it reminded me of, you know, when you get like a poo-poo platter at a Chinese food restaurant, and they have that weird gelatin in the middle that they set on fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It reminded me of something. Sterno. It's like that. But they said that this burned for months at it. Like, it just didn't go out. Like, it was like, I don't know. So they did this experiment like several times. They were sending buckets of ice.
They did several times.
They were sending
buckets. I mean, at some point they're just trying to start like fire for dinner, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. They just kept sending buckets of ice down one after another. Now, 2/3 of the time the ice would melt normally, but the other third of the time it would return into the, like, pretty much just like what they pretty much discovered a renewable and sustainable source of energy that they didn't tell anyone about. So 2/3 of the time it came back water. And
2% of the time they pulled up a dry martini.
Dude, you don't.
On the rocks.
Just wait. So after doing this experiment and getting somewhat consistent results, one of the bravest and or stupidest of the Basque men was like, fuck it, I'll go into the hole. To this, everyone replied, absolutely fucking not. So they settled, yeah. They settled on lowering a sheep down instead. Not great, but better than a dude, I guess. Now,
yeah, less expensive.
So, Sarge, this story is already pretty wild, but it's at this point where shit goes off the rails. And if you don't already have your skeptics hat on, I'm going to suggest that you fucking strap in.
I'm always wearing my skeptics hat
because I don't know if you're prepared for what happens next. So,
oh man,
now
I'm very excited.
If you remember back to the first episode in this series, I told you that animals do not fuck with bottomless pits. Like, nature just wants nothing to do with them at all.
Yeah.
And this sheep that was like chosen to be their, I guess, literal like sacrificial lamb, for the name of science, was no different. So they had put the sheep in a crate, and the closer it got to the hole, the more it tried to fight its way out of the crate. In the end, its escape attempts were unsuccessful, and they lowered the sheep's crate down to 1,000 feet. Now, once it reached that depth, the sheep just stopped moving. There was wasn't trying to resist, nothing. So they kind of just let it marinate in the hole for about like 30 minutes. And then and then once the half hour was up, they lifted it out. The crate was unchanged, but the sheep was dead, obviously. So the Basques, being shepherds, took the animal out of the crate to perform a quick autopsy on it. The sheep on the outside looked fine, like no signs of trauma, like it wasn't like anything like that, and it was healthy when it went in, so they wanted to figure out what happened. Well, when they cut into the sheep, the first thing they noticed is that it seems as though the sheep had been cooked from the inside, and taking up the cavity where all the organs would be was a massive tumor. Now, this tumor, quote unquote, started to move. So they cut the tumor open, and inside was what Mel described as a fetal seal with the eyes of a human attached to the tumor by an umbilical cord. They then watched as the creature crawled its way to the edge of the table as if it was trying to make its way back to the hole. And Mel, being the kind man that he is, decided to pick it up and bring it to the edge of the hole. He said that it was slimy and that the slime that was producing smelled like ozone. And then after placing the fetal seal with human eyes near the edge of the hole, it just kind of sat there observing and studying the men almost. And then the men in the seal just kind of stared at each other for a few hours before the creature gave one last knowing look to Mel and then fucking swan dived headfirst back into the hole. You look upset.
I just...
You weren't ready for that, were you, at all?
Nope. I don't know what I was expecting, but you still surprised me. I just want to do a quick rundown here. Mm-hmm. Drop a sheep in the hole.
Sheep's in the
hole. Pull it out.
Sheep's
dead on the inside, dead because it's been cooked from the inside out.
Fucking like a...
They find a tumor that's... Yeah, and the tumor's like gyrating, so they cut open mm-hmm. the tumor mm-hmm. and pull out a seal. Mel proceeds after watching them lower this.
Wait, hold on. A seal with human eyes.
Human eyes, right, yeah, right. I'm sorry, my mistake. Yeah. So then Mel, seeing all of this happen and knowing that whatever was in that hole killed the sheep, mm-hmm. he picked it up.
Yeah. Yeah, both hands.
And carried it.
Yeah, like a baby.
And then stared at it. He didn't yeet it into the hole like a normal human being.
No, he placed it gently down on the
ground. This guy's throwing wrenches, lifesavers, refrigerators, anything he can in the hole. But he finds a living demon seal.
Yeah.
Satan seal. Mm-hmm. And he's like, let me just gently carry this little fella that killed this sheep like a horrible parasite. Let me touch it.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know that it, you know, maybe it's contagious. Maybe I'll get, you know, at best cancer. Let me just carry it over to the edge of this weird hole and watch it. And then we're going to make eye contact for a couple of hours, like a weird fucking sci-fi romance novel.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this seal, after taking in the entire crowd, memorizing all their faces so it can come back and impregnate the rest of them. The seal's like, well,
didn't even think about it. See you later. I was taking stock. I didn't even think about
it. Yeah. The seal wasn't watching them like, oh man, are these guys going to hurt me? The seal was like, oh man, I wonder how big his butthole is.
You know, he was definitely memorizing faces, but the way they described it is that before it leaped into the hole, it like did one of those, like turned around, gave like a knowing, like one of those like things, like a, we understand each other, and then dove into the hole.
No. See, what happened is the seal actually looked at Mel and gave him a wink like, tonight, you. Well, and then jumped in the hole.
So,
like, see you later. I'll be inside you, so don't resist.
So it's funny that you said that at the very least this thing could cause cancer. What if I told you that the opposite was true. Now, one thing I didn't mention was that before Mel had made his way to Nevada, he had been diagnosed with advanced esophageal cancer and was told by the doctors that he had only 6 months left to live. But after having...
Is it possible that the cancer took Mel's back teeth and he just misunderstood the situation?
Either way, after having a staring contest with pretty much the baby from Eraserhead for a few hours, he was cancer-free.
Wow.
The baby seal cured his cancer. Unfortunately, it was after this revelation that the show, the Coast to Coast, they ran out of airtime. So Mel agrees to come back on for another interview and give an update. And he does, just a few months later. He comes back on Coast to Coast. Do you remember the burning bucket of ice? We just talked about it.
Well, yeah.
In this episode of Coast to Coast, he tells a story about one of the Basque men took it back to his cabin to use like as a heating source, because why wouldn't you? It's like an infinite.
Yeah.
You know, well, he put it in his stove. Fair. He put it in his stove, and I'm assuming he put it in a wood stove and not like his oven. Either way, he said that it burned for several months. The only downside is that it made the air in his cabin like crazy dry. And no matter what he did, he couldn't get moisture to stay. Skin was always dry. He was constantly thirsty. If you boil with water, all the steam would just get sucked into the stove, which if you've ever had a wood stove, that's just what happens. I feel like, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe this is worse, but it just sounds like the man has a wood stove. But then one day the stove crashed straight through the floor of his cabin and into the ground, but the ice was still burning and keeping him warm. So he just patched up the floor and left a little hole for the heat to rise up into his cabin.
Not in any way concerned about the open flame underneath his house in a wood stove that just crashed through the floor.
No, just kind of fucking built around it, cut a little hole so the heat come up through it. Call it a day, dude. It's called ingenuity. All right, he's saving money and making money at the same time. Now,
until the heat with nowhere to go eventually ignites his floor.
Oh, I don't think that'll happen.
And burns down the cabin.
That's not how science works.
Oh, no, my friend. Let me tell you a little story.
Oh,
when I was overseas, we had a fire pit. Mm-hmm. And we used to have like campfires at night. We would take like pressure treated wood, which, you know, you're not supposed to burn, but
not really. No,
given that the Iraqis were burning tires to stay warm, I figured pressure treated wood would be OK.
I'd rather breathe in pressure treated wood than fucking rubber fumes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all you had to do was hold a match to the wood and it would immediately catch fire. You didn't need kindling or paper or anything.
Yeah, because it
was so dry there.
Oh, also that makes sense. Yeah,
it would just catch fire because it was so dry. So I'm thinking this genius was like, I've got this unlimited source of heat that is never going to relent.
And also is drying out everything around.
Let me just build a little fence around it.
Yeah. Well,
brilliant.
Your theory is pretty much accurate because a few weeks later, he returns home and finds his cabin completely collapsed and pretty much dust at this point, and now has to move in with his brother. Now, a few weeks after that, he goes back to where his cabin once was and finds that the ice in the side of the stove is still burning, and the stove is now 5 feet into the ground. The only thing weird about this is that the hole that it was making was perfectly round and smooth. It was pretty much creating another bottomless pit. So
this is how the holes happen.
So unable to get the stove out by hand, they had to bring in heavy machinery like a crane to get the thing out of the ground to prevent it from going any further. Now, the Basque.
This is like a reverse version of Ice Nine.
Kind of. Yeah, it's just wait. Just hold
perpetually
on.
Creating holes.
Pretty much. Now, the Basque also told Mel that the fetal seal with human eyes often visited them. And they felt that it was a benevolent presence. And for them, it was a very spiritual experience. Brightly colored birds had started circling the hole. And they also discovered that the birds were somehow immune to bullets. Because if we know one thing about Americans, if something is weird, the first thing you got to do is try and fucking murder it.
I mean, that's...
But also, obviously. Like, they said it was a spiritual experience. Why the fuck are they trying to kill the birds?
Because that is literally the most American thing you could do. Like, oh my God, I feel the presence of the Lord. Let me shoot at it.
So they also believed that the divine seal was communicating with them via radio with a series of clicks and beeps and said that they can totally understand it. The bat said that the creature warned that the ice was extremely dangerous, and if it fell into the wrong hands, it could straight up end the world. So that's cool.
Yeah. No, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Now, at this point, Arbel is like, hell yeah, and asks if there's any recordings of this language, any photos of the hole, the seal, and Mel's like, oh yeah, dude, I got fucking plenty of evidence. Don't you fucking worry about it. Tell you what, Art Bell, I'm going to go to Nevada. I'll gather all the evidence you need and share it with you and all your listeners. So with this, Mel hangs up and is never heard from again. He doesn't return any of Art Bell's calls or messages, and eventually his phone line is disconnected. So after 5 years and leaving us with more questions than answers, this is how the story of Mel's hole ends. That's it.
I'm really sad.
It's very
because
anticlimactic.
There needs to be more.
That's it.
I like how Art Bell just yes anded this guy into death. Probably. Yeah. He's probably dead.
Oh,
the guy probably fell into the hole.
I don't.
He was like trying to get a selfie and then just slipped backwards.
I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. I don't think there was ever a hole.
Oh, no, no. None of this is real.
No.
This is insane.
So it is insane. And there's a few there's a few problems with Mel's story. I didn't write any of this down, but I'm going to go off memory. First of all, the first problem is that remember the whole Terra whatever website, like the first Google Earth? So apparently that was real for like a minute, and then there was a patch, like an up, because they had just launched the website. They updated a patch.
Okay.
That whole area became unblocked out. And if you go to Google Earth now, where that same area was, it was never blocked out to begin with. So strike one. Strike two.
Okay.
A hole of any sort of depth that deep into the earth structurally could not exist. I mean, is it, if it's paranormal, maybe, but I mean, let's be honest. That can't be real.
Come on.
But I mean, no. I don't.
Also, the metal around the other hole, like who put it there? Somebody had to put the metal there.
Yeah. It's all just made up gobbledygook, but it's a great fucking story. I was invested the entire time.
I like
time.
How Art Bell, hook, line, and sinker was just like, yes. Yes, this is real.
I don't know if Art Bell was like that, though, because Art Bell, if anything, he did give a lot of, like, he gave a lot of leeway to his callers. Like but I think it was because he knew that it was captivating radio. I don't think he actually believed a lot of the, stuff that people told him. I remember one time Art Bell, was it Art Bell or George Norrie? One of them was duped into, some guy called in pretending to be Gordon Freeman from Half-Life, the video game. And pretty much described the entire plot of Half-Life 1 and 2 to him, and Art Bell was just the entire time just like, oh wow, that's portal technology, that's why, like, you know what I mean, like he just full-on went with it. So I think he just knew that it was good radio. I don't think he believed any of this, but I do like that he gave those people a platform, which is also kind of bad because he gave those people a fucking platform.
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the same time, it's kind of harmless. It's not like Alex Jones where he's giving these people a platform, and then they're going on to threaten victims of violent crime.
True.
Like, these people are just harmless lunatics. The government stole my back teeth. I found a deep hole in the ground. There's some odd Spanish folk here who are going to put a sheep in there. I met a special seal.
He did.
God seal.
You were not expecting that seal. No,
I was
one.
Not.
No,
I was completely fucking shocked by this seal. Frankly, I wish this were true.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I wish.
And that's what kills me about a lot of these stories is, like, there's a part of me that really wishes it were true. And that, like, there's just this crazy hole that you can throw anything into and it never comes back.
Yeah.
You never hear it hit the ground. There's weird, slippery seals in there. Beautiful birds that you can't kill for some reason. The government wants to stop you.
I just love that they attempted to kill the birds.
Oh yeah.
They're like, this is like a spiritual transformative like experience we're having. Fucking kill these birds.
Yeah, immediately.
Like the first reaction, like, why?
You know how it worked too. Like, they saw the birds and this one guy was like, those are beautiful. Honey, get my rifle. Yeah. It wasn't even like there wasn't a discussion. Everyone just knew they were going to shoot at them.
Yeah. I don't know if the Basque are in tribes or whatever, but like there was no like elder to be like, don't fucking shoot these birds. Like everyone's just like in agreement. Like these, they got to go. We can't have this.
They're
shit.
Like, hey,
they're shitting on my Volvo.
You adjust for the wind. Yeah. And adjust for the wind.
Yeah.
You're going to need a scope.
You got to lead the birds. They're going to, yeah. You know, oh, brilliant. Shit. But yeah, but there you absolutely have it, man. Brilliant. That is the story of Mel's Hole. I wish it wasn't so anticlimactic, and maybe, you know, eventually Mel will come back, but it's been years at this point, so I don't think he will. But what do you think?
The only thing that would have made this story better is if after meeting the seal, his teeth grew back.
It wasn't enough for the cancer to go away.
Yeah, like the cancer, that's kind of awesome, but I think it would have also been really fascinating if like he also regenerated his teeth.
True. But also now thinking about it, maybe it was just a dude who had cancer and like he like was like hallucinating or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, maybe, I mean, like, he got cancer. He knew it was the end of the road. And he's like, I'm just going to start doing peyote and call like, coast to coast AM.
But that would explain like, you know, the loss of time, the IV in his arm. Maybe it was from chemo and
he never
like
went
that.
To Australia. He was just in a hospital and had an Australian doctor.
But maybe his family was like, oh, there's a really good oncology department in this hospital in Australia. Let's fuck
okay, you know yeah, I mean? That's
like,
fair.
It could have been a whole thing. And then he just fucking, either due to the radiation or the cancer, something like he just forgot why he was there. I was like, I got to go back to the States. And then
I like to believe he was just taking psychedelics this whole time.
I mean, that's also a possibility.
Like he's just having the most fascinating life.
Yeah.
Not realizing, like he's Mr. Magoo, like just doesn't see any of the things happening around him and is just traveling through life, tripping balls.
Yeah, everyone to him looks like a Muppet, pretty much.
It's yeah. just
everything's just magical and wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect.
I don't know. In my head, when I first learned about the seal with human eyes, my first thought was like a fetal version of like Justin Long in that movie Tusk.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, God.
As much as I hate that movie, I watched it once and immediately was like, never watch it again.
There's a lot of movies out there that you really only need to watch once.
Yeah, that's definitely one of them.
Like Requiem for a Dream.
Yep.
I only needed that one time.
Yeah. Bummer of a movie.
Schindler's List. That's a good personality test, though, too. Like if you ask somebody, you know, how many times they've seen Schindler's List, if their answer is greater than one, they're not someone you want to be around all the time.
Yeah, no, because you get the point.
Yeah, only need it one time.
We all get the vibes. But yeah, that's it. That's the end of the episode. It was a shorter episode than normal, but it needed to happen to really round out this story.
There was a lot in that episode, though.
There was. We kind of hammered through it, but there was a lot of information.
And I have no complaints.
I tried to write it to the point where we couldn't make puns about any of it.
Well, no, you're right. Mel's hole was densely packed.
I changed the word hole to pit a lot in it because I was trying to cut down on the giggles.
You really filled out Mel's hole nicely.
I did. All right. Well, before we go, a couple things. I should have done this at the beginning of the episode, but we got I got an update from a latter episode. Christina from Bake Bake Philly. We did an episode a while back, not me and her, but on the fairies of Ireland and also the Puckwudgies, who are notorious for taking babies and changing them out with changelings. I never found out what happened with the actual babies or with the changelings.
When you said changelings, I thought you were just going to say change. And I'm like, they take your baby and leave you like a couple of pennies.
It's like a fistful of fucking change. No. So, but I never knew what happened with the babies after they were taken or what happened with the changelings. Like, do they grow up just as like a human? Well, thanks to Christina from Bake Bake Philly. This is what she had to say. She said, I just listened to the Irish Fae episode. You may have found this info already, but as a self-appointed Philly fairy expert, here's what I got. Changelings are swapped out for the real babies because most Fae love them, mostly for their cherubic sweet nature, but also sometimes to eat them. The changelings they replace them with usually get sick and die as quote unquote infants. so they wouldn't necessarily grow up as fey in the human world. The human counterpart, however, will live as a baby or child in the fairy world. Sometimes the fey would give them back and just release them into the woods. And this caused a lot of, like, quote unquote, missing child, but found safe and sound under bizarre circumstances, were blamed on the fey. Some parents would take their sick babies into the woods in hopes that it was a changeling and the fairies would take pity on them slash swap them back. So that's some clarification on that.
That to me sounds a little bit like an excuse for committing child abuse.
Pretty much. My baby's sick. I'm just going to throw it in the woods.
Yeah, there's a fairy that's going to fix it. Yeah, you guys will understand later on when the fairy comes back with the real baby eventually.
Yeah. we found the cops like, is your baby? Oh, no, we left in the woods because the fairies are going to make it better. It's fine.
Yeah, it was a changeling. We want the real baby back. So I just left the baby on a log and, you know, a new one will be here soon.
So next up, real quick before we head out, I just want to say that we have another another installment of wholesome content.
Wholesome content.
We got a very nice we got a very nice message from
Fatality.
Danis2237 on Instagram said, just started listening this week, and when I say I've binged hours each day, I mean so many hours. This is honestly in my top three pods, and I've been sending it to everyone. So thank you very much, Danny. I appreciate it very much. Sarge, I'm assuming, appreciates it as well.
Danny, I love you.
But
give me a hug.
But with
long,
that,
uncomfortable hug, no kissing.
Just maybe.
Okay, there could be kissing.
Some light neck breaths. Breaths. Yeah. All right.
We'll rub our mustaches together like two toothbrushes.
Danny's a girl, but it's fine.
Oh.
D-A-N-I.
Oops. Apologies. I believe this is now considered some kind of harassment.
Yeah. So
please don't sue us. We don't have any money.
So Danny is no longer a listener to the show.
Whoops.
Oh shit. All right.
Well, it's nice while it lasted.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for listening. This will be our last episode now. Thank you, Sarge. And all right. Sarge, is there anything you want to plug? Also, by the way, congratulations on the latest episode of Citizen's Guide. That was such a blast to listen to. Jeremy was fucking awesome. He was hilarious.
Yeah, Jeremy London's such a cool guy. I've known him for a few years. Only on Twitter. I never met him in real life, but we've talked back and forth and engaged in flame wars with weirdos. He's just a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah, that was it was such a fun episode. Yeah. I didn't expect him. I didn't realize he grew up on like a farm child. He had so many good stories about his youth. He's like, yeah, diving into the river with jeans on. I was like, dude, I fucking know exactly what you're talking about. That's small town shit.
Yeah, that's something you do. I always wore cutoffs, but I do recall swimming in denim, which was a bad idea. He's just a genuinely nice guy. The next episode we've got coming out should be out Tuesday or Wednesday. It is going to be about the flat earth. So, subscribe to the Citizen's Guide to the Supernormal.
I've been wanting to do a flat earth episode for so long.
One's going to be real dumb.
That's a good one.
And that's actually what I was complaining about. I found all this information.
Yeah.
And there's just so many different facets to it.
Well, there's different flat earths. There's flat earth.
Yeah.
Then there's like dome earth. And then there's like concave earth. And there's like pyramid earth, which is like another form of flat earth.
That's a new one. I haven't heard that one.
Dude, I went down that rabbit hole once, never again, because I'm pretty sure I came out of it dumber than when I went into it.
And I'm already pretty
fucking stupid. So
every hour you spend on flat earth, you lose 25 brain cells. So, it's a fascinating concept, especially in how wonderfully wrong everything is.
But spoken with such authority that they think they're right.
So much conviction.
Oh.
And there's such smugness on their side. Figured it out. Cause I mean, the ground is flat, therefore the earth is flat. And just because you don't understand stuff doesn't make it I don't know how a wireless charger works.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that it does work. Just cause I don't understand it doesn't mean it's fake.
Well, did you watch that documentary? I hope you watched the documentary, Flat Earth is on Netflix, where It followed.
Oh, no, I've watched a lot of flat Earth documentaries.
It followed him around, lot of them. And at the very end, they try to do like that laser level thing where they're like across the lake.
Bob Nodell.
And they and it didn't line up the way they thought it would. Yeah, like they basically
that was Jaronism. So that's a guy named Jaronism. And then there's another guy named Bob Nodell who got like a extremely high powered laser gyroscope.
Oh, and like went up in the air.
And he's like, well, I don't remember where exactly they put it, but he was basically like, if the Earth was round and rotating, we'd get a 15 degree per hour drift. So when we turned on the level, we got a 15 degree per hour drift. And so his explanation was that the level was wrong.
Oh, okay. All right. It's so good though.
So I won't pick on Bob too much because he did pass away recently.
No, dude, fuck that guy. I'll pick on him.
Be nice. No, I'm trying to be nice.
That guy. I talk shit on this show all the time. It's fine.
Well, I just feel bad that he died stupid. You know,
is he the guy that tried to build his own rocket?
No. That's another guy who died stupid.
Okay.
There's so many. There was another guy that I watched. He was like a huge conspiracy theorist, like firmly believed in the Mandela effect being like a government psyop. Didn't believe in COVID. Thought it was a psyop, and then you guessed it, he died from COVID.
Yeah,
that's yeah, so hilarious.
I mean,
and frankly, those are the people I don't feel bad for because you had the ability to take a vaccine, you had the ability to protect yourself from it.
Oh,
makes you an idiot.
All the options were there, and they probably
that's like holding a gun to your head and saying guns aren't real.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guns don't hurt people. Bullets hurt people. And then they fucking shoot you.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Yeah. So he gets the Herman Cain Award. I don't feel bad for him. But yeah. So with all that misanthropy out of the way, everybody, I love you. Except for Danny. That was platonic. We're just friends. Right. Don't sue me.
Make sure to follow Sarge on all of his social medias. You can find all those in the link in our Instagram. And if you want to follow our Instagram, it's at CryptoCocktail. Follow us on TikTok, CryptoCocktailParty. We have a Patreon. It's $5 a month. You get unedited video episodes. We're still working on some stuff to add to it. It's $5 a month. Yeah, it's $5 a month. It might be a little bit. Maybe I'll just make a tier that's like $3 a month, but just to support the show if that's cheaper for you. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But with that, Sarge already said that he loves all of us, except for Danny. It's platonic. Don't worry about it.
It's not a sexual love.